The Gondoliers sets. According to the director Stuart Maunder, The Gondoliers is a glorious confection. Premiered in 1889, this is no biting satire, but rather the sunniest, most joyous of the Gilbert and Sullivan operas, an entertainment for all, bringing together infectious melody, wit, and heartfelt sentiment with dance and the magical feel of Victorian theatre. The sets and costumes designed by Dick Bird are a major part of this entertainment, contributing visual delight. Act 1 is set in Venice, the lovely muted Venice of a Canaletto painting, while Act 2 is set at the royal court of the lush, tropical South Seas kingdom of the imaginary Barataria. Beautiful locations combine with the feel of a toy theatre or magic lantern, where scenes are transformed by removing or adding or revealing a piece of scenery as the action requires. Such changes are made in full view of the audience. Act 1. When the curtain opens, we're immediately transported to an 18th century Venice piazzetta. In the background, elegant 3- and 4-story palazzi line the canal, which runs along the back from left to right, the steam rising from it marking its course. In the middle of the piazza, towards the back, is a fountain with an octagonal stone seat surrounding the basin. In the foreground, 2 long steps run parallel to the front. The ground of the piazza is a checkerboard of black and white square marble tiles facing us on the diagonal. There are 2 landing stages on both right and left sides, with tall gondola mooring poles alongside. These poles are diagonally striped in red and white, rather like barber's poles, with green tops. Other identical mooring poles are centre back alongside the canal. The landing stages at the sides and the canal at the back allow several entrances and exits. The first transformation of the set is achieved by folding back the central backdrop of the palazzi to reveal a view of a Canaletto-like painting. Blue sky, distant spires and domes, and a canal in the foreground. An even wider Canaletto backdrop is opened up before closing as the Duke and Duchess of Plaza Toro arrive, by gondola of course. Another building slots in front of the canal. This is the Ducal Palace, 3 stories high with 3 arched roof sections, the central one higher than the 2 others, and with an arched entrance at ground level. When the Duke and Duchess leave, the Ducal Palace flies out, revealing behind it the famous Bridge of Sighs. Behind this, the painterly image of Venice is still visible. This is the setting for the joyful celebration of the wedding of Giuseppe and Tessa and Marco and Janetta. For the finale of Act 1, where the Gondolier brothers agree to go to Barataria to take over the kingdom, an even more expansive view is revealed. The buildings of the foreground piazza merge with the buildings lining the canal in the backdrop, and a large and beautiful Canaletto-like vista of canals, with gondolas, sailing ships and distant spires and domes, fills the back wall. It's as if we're at a window with a view over the Grand Canal. Below, the water is aquamarine, and above, the huge sky has gathering violet-grey clouds. As Marco and Giuseppe prepare to leave for Barataria, the large sail of a sailing boat drops down, partially covering the Grand Canal vista. Act 2. With Marco, Giuseppe and the rest of the gondoliers having taken up residence at the royal court of Barataria, the setting in Act 2 has changed considerably from the faded splendour of Venice to the less formal surroundings of an exotic South Sea island. The only element of the set which remains from Act 1 is the black and white checkerboard floor with the 2 shallow steps running its full width across the front. Gone are the 2 landing stages on either side, their place is taken by 4 pairs of imposing pillars of pinkish marled stone, each about 4 metres high and mounted on a grey plinth about 0.5 metre high, and having a matching capital. Centre back there is a square dais with 2 shallow steps leading up to a red velvet throne, with silver gilding edging the padded back, arms, seat and legs. This is no upright, austere throne, but rather a very lavish version of a comfortable winged armchair, which is set in an alcove backed by red velvet, on which is emblazoned a huge crest, comprising a silver double-headed eagle and a crown. A pelmet of red velvet fringed with gold frames the top of the alcove, which has been constructed to match the design and colour of the 4 pillars. On either side of the throne is a dense jungle of luxuriant greenery, interspersed with huge poppy red flowers, and the occasional glimpse of an exotic bird perching on a branch. On the left, close to the front pillars, there's a three-seater sofa upholstered in red, with silver gilding which matches the throne exactly, as do the two armchairs placed one behind the other, near the pillars on the right. Beside the front chair, a wooden A-frame ladder is positioned beneath a delicate crystal chandelier suspended from above. Its opposite number hangs to the left. Washing lines are attached to the canopy immediately above the throne, stretching out to left and right between the two sets of pillars. A variety of white shirts, chemises and stockings are strung up on the lines. Just in front of the throne and slightly to the left is a painting displayed on an easel. To the right at the back is a larger painting, about 2 meters square, of a king in velvet and ermine robes, sitting on his throne, holding an orb and scepter. When this is brought forward during the opening chorus, we notice that where his head should be, 2 holes have been cut out side by side, so that Marco and Giuseppe can both look through from behind. Later in the act, the furniture has all been removed to make space for the arrival of the contadine, and after that a long brass pole is lowered from above to enable the gondoliers to hang up a banner proclaiming Barataria's welcome to the Duke of Plaza Toro Limited. In the final scene, the dais is moved forward to the centre and turned round through 180 degrees to reveal the rack on which Don Alhambra has been torturing Inez, the king's foster mother. Once she's given up her secret, the dais and throne are restored to their original position, allowing the rightful king and queen of Barataria to be crowned amid general rejoicing.